Tony and Mitch, I have to ask, did you even know this song existed 3 weeks ago?
I did, I promise.
Okay.
Rumors is one of the best albums that Fleetwood Mac's ever done. Oh, one of the best albums in music, honestly.
No, stop.
I admit I like Fleetwood Mac.
And
Wolf hates it.
You potted up on me?
Wolf hates it. I like Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, my goodness. Fleetwood Mac, please.
I don't like cranberry juice, though. Sorry.
Maloney actually had Ocean Spray this morning. That's why it's been stuck in my head.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I respect them all, obviously, as musicians, like them. The creative work they've done in.
I like Christy over Stevie, though. Stevie's kind of creepy. Sorry, Stevie.
Stevie always had the huge heels, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like, I'm talking 9-inch heels.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you're going to follow along the cranberry craze here, Stevie, could you actually get up off the roller skates? Or could you get on a skateboard instead of just spending an hour tying them?
You know what's interesting about it as well? Stevie Nicks could not dance like it. And that's what was really odd. She doesn't have any rhythm. Very much like Paul Calvisi, as a matter
of fact. By the way, shout out to a gentleman who may or may not be the color analyst of your Arizona State Sun Devils for basketball. But I just got a text from Kyle Dodd that said, first concert ever, Fleetwood Mac. And I want to let you know, Kyle, I win because my first concert ever, Pink Floyd.
Oh, wow.
I win. Right, thank you.
Pink Floyd.
Thank you.
Hands down. Kyle, I mean, honestly. Well, you know what? There was probably a girl involved. It was about a girl, wasn't it, Kyle? Just guessing. It was about a girl, wasn't it? Isn't that right?
Is that your justification for Michael Bolton?
Listen, Michael Bolton, it was about a brother, is what it was.
I see. Maloney, have you ever gone to a Michael Bolton event? Minch, have you ever gone to a Michael Bolton event? I think there's only one of us.
The guy from Office Space?
I went to...
Very good. I think there's only one of us here in the Auction Community Studios that's been to see Michael Bolton.
Dirtbag.
You've got us on Michael Bolton and Shania Twain.
Hey, when a man loves a woman, that's what he does, okay? And Michael Bolton, it was because I love my brother.
I see.
I went to see him. He was the
He's a big fan of Michael Bolton? Oh,
no, he's a road manager. He was working for him.
I see.
Also pounding people that tried to grab him. He'd pound them into dust.
Cliff Kingsbury was on the Scott Van Pelt podcast on Tuesday, and boy, he said some really fun things, to be quite honest. The storyline of Adam Gase and some other play callers being told it's time to not be the play caller. You just manage. You be the game manager. Yeah. And Scott wasn't saying there's anything wrong with the Cardinals offense, but he just asked, what would it take for you to relinquish play calling?
I would retire. It's part of the game. I couldn't just sit there and watch it. A lot of people are great at that and managing games, and that's not my strong suit. My strong suit is calling it and interacting with the quarterback, and I got to play to my strengths.
Man, that is so great right there. This is what he absolutely loves, right? And it's the one thing that Cliff Kingsbury, to me, has got to guard himself into falling in love with certain plays. He's got to listen to himself and his own advice and the reason why he calls plays for players. You can never forget that as a play caller, right? You got to call plays for players and not just for the sake of running a play. And that's a hard thing to, man, when you're as bright and you're as creative as Cliff Kingsbury is, ladies and gentlemen, that's a hard thing to do.
You know, it's interesting you said that. There's two points about him being clever. Let's play the one that you just mentioned about the way he designs plays and what he thinks about when he's calling a play.
I always think players, not plays, and lean with them. That's why with those QBs I've had, I always make sure, hey, if you don't like a play, I could think it's the greatest play I've ever designed in my life. If you don't like it, we're not calling it. And if they come to you with a play, you could think it's the dumbest play ever, but if they like it, they're going to make it work.
There's a lot of people that don't understand that point, and I don't even mean football-wise. Just think about in your company or your business. If you have a group of people that totally believe in an idea and they all buy in, yeah, there's a chance it'll work even if it's a bad idea because everybody bought in.
Sure.
And then there's other times where you have a great idea, but if it doesn't feed into the strengths of the people around you, then that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And he said that. And then he also said this kind of goes to your point, which you probably didn't know he said, about his clever ideas, his ability to design plays. He was asked, does he ever get upset when he sees great plays from other people and thinking, why didn't you do that?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I feel inadequate a bunch. You're watching guys in our conference like Sean and Shanahan, and they're coming up with these screens and play action and different stuff that I couldn't dream of if I wanted to. And I definitely get play envy sometimes.
And he's so play humble. Envy. He really is right now. I'm telling you, play envy, yes, but he's so humble right there. Listen, this guy is smart and this guy is humble, and that's the reason why he's experiencing success as a head coach in the National Football League. If there's two things you want to be going through life, ladies and gentlemen, smart and humble is a good way to go.
Well, it's interesting, too. Where did he go mentally? For him in play envy, he went to two guys in the conference, Sean and Shanahan, talking about McVay,
exactly right.
The head coach of the Rams, and Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers.
I can tell you, I have seen plays, and I know Cliff always talks about ripping it off.
Yeah, yeah.
He saw this team do it. He saw a college team do it. He's very, very open about where he gets the inspiration. But I've seen plays that have worked that are very, very Cliff. Let's put it that way, for lack of a better way of saying it.
Well, you can see with him complimenting those coaches, that led Scott Van Pelt into saying something, and it's an underlying topic of this season. We're going to be talking about it all year long, and that is the Cardinals in the NFC West, since he just complimented those two coaches.
You're looking at those teams, you're like, oh, we have Seattle and L.A., and then guess what? The first year in the league, San Fran goes to the Super Bowl. And so it kind of hits you like this is – you're in this for keeps. But it does motivate you to be better. It motivates our team to be better. You look around each week and you watch what those guys are doing. You watch those coaches. Pete Carroll's one of the best coaches of all time, one in college, one in the NFL, and then those two young guys in San Fran and L.A. that are just phenomenal offensive minds. And each and every day you have that in the back your mind, and to definitely get you up a little bit earlier in the morning.
I'm trying to think right now what you could compare that to. What is analogous to what Cliff Kingsbury just said? If you've ever played a sport, Basinonians, right, where you were the youngest guy on the team, maybe a 10th grader playing varsity. I don't care what it is, but a 10th grader playing varsity football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be. The first time you actually got out on the diamond, the first time you got out under the court, the first time you got in between the white lines, how terrified were you? Because you knew everybody around you was so good. Everyone was so much better. They were older than you. They were better than you, and you knew it. Just think what Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals have experienced from last year, what they experienced last year to this year right now, and where they are. The juxtaposition of those two things right now in this division, the toughest division in football.
If you haven't had a chance to hear it, we have really enjoyed our conversations with Jay Williams. And that's coming up next, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And we'll ask him. He's a competitor, but at the same time, don't you want to go to a championship? So here's your question. Would you rather be in the NFC East or the NFC West? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh, no. Are you talking to me, Vance Joseph? Yeah, Vance. Ray. Buck. Defense. Ray. Buck. Finding an identity on defense. It's called Bad But Don't Break Bad Down.
So what's highly entertaining this morning is we get what we call a show sheet every day from Maloney, and there's no way Wolf looked at his show sheet because Wolf hates doing the Pantera call-out in front of a guest.
Wait a minute.
And Jay Williams is right now on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line.
Uh-huh.
And Jay, Wolf's been doing that for 10 years, and he normally bails when he knows somebody new is going to hear it for the first time.
Wolf, you have. I just became a big fan of yours. I don't think I've been to a mosh pit since I was like in eighth grade. And I broke my clavicle. I did break my clavicle bone.
No,
I was like, you probably don't need to go to any more of these.
Oh my goodness, Jay. I'm so sorry for that, buddy. I had no, they told
but
me
no,
you
I was, I,
no...
Are you kidding me? I'm in it. I was I was banging my head at my office. My daughter was looking at me like, what are you listening to? I'm like, I'm just in the moment right now.
Jay, you got, I kid you not, they actually brought on Phil Anselmo, who is the lead singer of Pantera, who does that. Are you talking to me? They brought him on.
Well, we surprised him one time.
I didn't know he was on the line. So, say, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm sorry, bro.
We do that from time to time. The greatest one we ever pulled on him, Jay, is he likes to talk on the draft. He likes to talk about his freaks for the draft. So one time we shocked him with,
y'all gonna need my homeboy Ron.
We actually brought on Freak-a-leak, Petey Pablo.
Petey Pablo.
Oh my God. Oh.
It was awesome. It was awesome. We don't really follow a lot of rules.
Jay, I got to start with this right here. I just got to start with this. Your opinion, your feeling on the Los Angeles Dodgers being World Series champions.
Oh, we hate it. We hate it.
Oh God.
I mean, how do you feel?
So, this is like, I'm trying to take a deep breath here because I kind of went off the other day, watching the game late night. I just kind of went to this place where it was like, what the hell is the MLB doing? And I know I could put blame on Justin Turner, but I could be real with you guys. Like, when I win a championship, like, I am out of my mind. Like, I just want to party with my brothers. It's all the blood, tears, and sweat. I'm not saying that I'm not condoning his action. I need to hear more details about how you got out of security, how you just found a way, you pushed your way out of security on the field. But it was just like the epitome of like mediocrity, right? I watching Rob Manfred talk about, yes, Justin Turner, this happened, and he's self-isolating right now, we're quarantining. And then 2 seconds later, the panel of the screen goes over, and I see Justin Turner holding up the World Series trophy, saying yes. And I'm like, wait. And then I go back to Wolf 2 and Doug. Like, I'm like, all right, beginning of the year, like, think about this in the full entirety of it. The beginning of the year, the Nationals, the defending champions, are playing the Yankees, my Yankees, okay? Mm-hmm. Watching the game, Juan Soto, all of a sudden, he has COVID. He's benched for 8 games. Fast forward an entire season, everything we've dealt with, and you're like, oh, they're going to pull it off. They're there. And then to end the season with the finale of Justin Turner on the field, mask on, mask off, right, whatever the hell you want to call it, nobody understanding how he got there, it just epitomizes 2020, guys.
Yes.
It's like, and then I get into political debates. Like, well, I don't need to wear a mask. I'm like, I don't even care about if you're wearing a mask. It's not political to me. It's health. Like, he shouldn't be on the field. Why is he even there? So, and I hear what people are saying about teammates and celebratory and things of that sort, and I'm sorry for being long-winded, but I don't even understand why he's on the field.
Now,
I don't.
It's been a long – I love college basketball, but it's been a long time, but you'll know better than me. Your national championship was against USC, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's, I don't know, 8 minutes left in the second half. It's the beginning of this century. You're beating USC, and coach pulls you, and Coach K says, Jay, you've got this pandemic disease. We're going to put you in the locker room. Is security stopping you from getting back on the court when the game's over and you're a national champion?
Well, here's the thing, though, Doug, right? First off, I would think that this location that they have had the bubble at, they wouldn't just take me. Like, you would think that they would have a specified location.
I would have thought.
Cool. We're only playing the World Series in a damn pandemic. Like, you would think that we would put it in the protocols and have geographical understanding of, all right, we're going to take you outside of the building. We're going to put you in a quarantine environment. I just don't understand how they can even have optionality because, yeah, I mean, look, is somebody going to stop me if I really wanted to get out there? Probably not, but I would have to think of myself in that moment that, yes, this sucks. This is the worst thing to happen. But do I want to jeopardize my teammates and their families and all the random people that are on the field? Mm. Like, I would think about that. And then I would hope that MLB would have some kind of security around them. Like, no, like, you're taking me out off the premises. Why am I still even on the premises?
Yeah, that's true.
See, I'm wondering, though, Jay, I'm wondering why his teammates were fine with it. And it made you see Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts was sitting right next to him without a mask. And you know this guy's got COVID. That's the reason to listen. So, if his teammates were okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Well, if Key said that, and that's why I said I don't – it's like – and it's going to be probably a bad analogy. Guys, you know, there's a lot of things my daughter wants to do. Mm-hmm. And me as a parent, I'm like, nah, mm-hmm. not in your best interest. Mm-hmm. So I look at this as MLB being the parent and the Dodgers being the kids who just got invited to the coolest birthday party of all time, and they want to party. Right, but when you know something bad can go down at the birthday party, the parents need to be the ones to say, sorry, it's not going to work out this way. So I'm not even giving Dave Roberts. I'm not getting Clayton Kershaw. I'm not giving Corey Seager. I'm not giving any of these guys even any opportunity to say what they do and what they don't want. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but that's why I said this is an indictment on MLB, Major League Baseball, and it's so unfortunate.
This is Jay Williams. We love talking to him. Every Thursday he joins us, 9:15, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, which is the ESPN morning show that's on right before Doug and Wolf, so you can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. This is one of those get-to-know-you type of competitive question. Right now, in the division the Cardinals are in, every single team has a positive point differential, and they're all above 500. NFC East.
When's the last time the NFC West has been that good, Doug?
It would have been, I'm going to guess, 2000. I mean, it's never been this good. Never.
Wow.
But I think it's been about 5 or 6 years ago where you had three of the four that were really good, and there was always one that was behind. Or you've got the NFC East, where everyone's below 500, and nobody even has three wins yet. So, Jay Williams, would you rather be a dominant team but untested in the NFC East going into the playoffs, or would you rather be a hardened team from the NFC West that has a lot fewer wins and probably doesn't have home field advantage?
I'd rather be the latter, because I would also pray that the NFL will stop this dumb rule that a team from the NFC East can get home field advantage.
I'm with you.
With a piss poor
Absolutely.
Record.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, no, we're battle tested. We're proven. We are between the NFC West and AFC North, two of the best divisions in football. Reward us. Mm-hmm. Reward us. I don't understand how that's even a thought. I don't want to see the Eagles, or I'm a Giants fan, and I don't want to see the Giants. I don't want to see the Cowboys. I probably don't think we're going to see the Cowboys. Chances are we'll probably see the Eagles, but still. I don't want to reward mediocrity.
I've got to ask you this, Jay, well, quickly. Antonio Brown. What are your thoughts on Antonio Brown getting a shot down in Tampa Bay?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be my name. Yeah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Those are my thoughts. Like, I just, every time I hear his name, to be honest with you, I pray for him, guys.
You
like,
I'm with you, Jake.
Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see him win. I really do.
Yes, in life.
But like that's the best point. Well, like, you're so on target with that. At this juncture, I don't care about football and Antonio Brown.
Yep.
And I know it's my job to talk about sports, and I know that Tom Brady and him, now they're stacked to get Chris Godwin back and their team, they are loaded. I understand all that. But like, the bigger conversation for me every time I hear AB is like, how are you doing? Like, how are you doing, man? Like, I just want you to be okay. Football, winning games in football is not going to make you okay.
Yeah.
People telling you how great you are on a football field is not going to make you okay.
Amen.
That's where I go, man.
We love talking to you. Thanks, Jay. Have a good show tomorrow morning.
Love you guys, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate you, man.
Yep, there's Jay Williams joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Nissan, go to Coulter Nissan. Go to coulternissan.com, west of the hassle. Coming up next, we've looked at the offense, we've looked at the defense. Self-scout day as the Arizona Cardinals are on a bye. And now we look at the one group that, Wolf, you know full well, really isn't all that important.
It's life.
Special teams next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. just decided that today is his last day before Halloween.
Yes.
I can't imagine why in the world the boss man, the farmer boss man, let you off. It's kind of soft, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
I would never take time off during a bye week.
His name is Michael Myers, Masononians. Michael Myers, of course. John Carpenter. Halloween. Have you ever... Are there actually kids that are listening right now?
Yes.
That have not seen Halloween?
Yeah, I'm sure.
The original movie,
There's
Halloween.
There's no way Maloney and Mitch
I'm not talking about
it.
Halloween 2. I'm not... None of the sequel. I'm talking about Halloween. What, have you seen it?
No, you're saying he has not.
I just know that Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Oh, you've never seen it.
No.
Mitch.
I'm not a big fan of scary movies. I'm sorry.
Mitch, no, you've got to see this one. This is not a scare you just to scare you movie. This is scary, genuinely scary.
Maloney, have you seen it?
Like Minch, I don't like scary movies because then I will walk down my stairs to my car in the morning and I will see Michael Myers staring at me.
Oh my goodness.
My mind will play tricks on me.
There was one time, Basinoni, it's a good friend of mine.
Just don't walk in the cellar and you'll be fine.
A good friend of mine, BZ, ladies and gentlemen. I won't say his name on the air, but a good friend of mine showed up. I was down in South Phoenix, as a matter of fact. Right? Off of Chandler Boulevard, Ahwatukee. And suddenly there was a knock at my door on All Hallows Eve at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I opened the door and there was a guy standing there in a full jumpsuit with a Michael Myers mask on and a fake rubber knife. And he was standing some 10, 12 feet from the door. And I said, oh, that's good. That's good right there. All right, you got me. Okay, buddy. Thank you. We'll see you. And I went to shut the door, and he didn't move. He just stood there. Didn't make a sound. Just stood there. And I cracked the door back. Okay, buddy, I got it, man. We get it. That's scary. Yeah, the Michael Myers. All right, I'll see you. Have a good Halloween. Went to shut it again. Stood there. Would not move. And I finally opened the door and grabbed a golf club that was right there by the door, my bag. And I took it out. I said, dude, knock it off. And he started laughing hysterically. It was my good buddy, Jim Belenowitz. I'm going to say his last name. How's that, Jimbo? Oh! That was pretty freaky right there, I guarantee you. You know what, honestly? I should have told my story. You know the story. The story of stories right there. As a matter of fact, why don't you give me a beat, Manch? I'm just going to destroy this beautiful... Ladies and gentlemen, the year was 1992. I was playing for the Cleveland Browns. I was staying in a condominium by myself. I had sent my family home. Didn't want to move the kids out of school at that point in time, right? So they were home and I was staying in this condominium. Came walking out on a cold December Saturday morning. Came walking out and it was overcast and yet I could see my breath. It was so cold. And I walked over to my car that was next to a white Chevy van without windows, a white Chevy van. And I got into my car and I went ahead and started it up, ladies and gentlemen. And as I fired it up, there was a boom, 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 a rapping on the window. And I looked over and there was a guy standing there outside. And he motioned to roll the window down. So I cracked it down about an inch. And this guy was standing there. He had a Fu Manchu. And he had on a flannel shirt. and a beard and long hair and these thick glasses, and he was holding this handkerchief out in front of his face about some, I don't know, 15 to 16 inches away from his face. And he said to me, "Your right rear is flat." And Basinonians, I'm telling you right now that every hair on the back of my neck stood up. And this still small voice deep inside of me said, "Do not get out of this car. Do not get out of this car." I said, "Thank you." And I rolled the window back up, put it into reverse, pulled out. Drove by the windowless Chevy van and drove down to the corner about a quarter of a mile into a gas station, got out of the car, walked around to the rear right wheel and looked at it. There was absolutely nothing wrong with it. Not a thing. The year was 1992, and it was a cold December day as I was playing for the Cleveland Browns. You tell me what that was like.
That was Cleveland. That's what that's like.
You tell me, the dude's standing there with this white handkerchief, and he's not putting it up to his face. No, he's holding it out in front of him. He tells me I got a flat in my right rear. Interesting where the location was on that, right? The right rear. I would have had to get out of my car and walk around and look at it. I don't know, honestly, but I can tell you right now that is a true story, Basinonians. I don't know what that meant, but I heard it. Do not get out of this car.
I just think that's Cleveland.
Dude, I don't know what you're doing or who you are or what game you're playing, but there was nothing wrong with my right rear. Not a thing.
What I loved about this beautiful part of the program is this is the one part where we reserve for you to talk special teams.
Oh.
And we didn't have to.
Boy, that was brutal.
Yeah. Sign up for Bigs Picks. Text PICK to 620-620 to sign up and compete for a weekly prize from Pizza Hut. You'll be competing against Dan Bickley for your chance to win the grand prize, a 75-inch television, courtesy of Corona Extra. Text PICK to 620-620.
What's in the handkerchief?
Coming up next, Paul's Call has the drizzle on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbedding.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no. Where's Zoe? I'd rather do this show with Zoe, honestly.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
You know, we'd start by saying, what do you mean the D-backs aren't re-signing Yasmani Nomas?
Yeah, that'll be an error on Tomas. Yeah, that's a ball he didn't play very well.
But no more contracts for Nomas.
Built like Pablo Sandoval, but with none of the athleticism at all.
Right, Keith Law. Well, that makes sense.
Out of there.
Right. What doesn't make sense...
Who's getting wild tonight?
...is when the Gronk is asked about his back shoulder touchdown catch by the media. What makes it
so difficult for anybody to defend?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a saying my mom used to say, it must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that. That's kind of how it goes. I mean,
no, we don't know, Gronk, how that goes. Maple syrup, what?
It's like a saying my mom used to say, okay. It must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that.
Okay.
Butter?
Butter don't drizzle like that. I think he's pulling a Dennis Gardeck here.
Fishy.
And he's just fabricating some stuff.
Do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some and throw it on the wall and see what sticks?
Gronk continues.
You know, that saying just came right about to my head, the back shoulder again. Just brings it back.
Okay, just hold up here.
hit the brakes. Gronk, what about, forget all the other breakdown, back to the maple syrup saying from mom.
It's kind of saying you got to just take it how it sounds sometimes. Right. You know, okay. You don't got much time to react. And syrup drizzles, you got to make that play. And a stick of butter, it's a block. You got to put it in the microwave to melt it. That just takes too long. You got to make that play right away, baby.
Not buying this.
No.
I mean, Gronk is flim-flamming the media as he wraps up by summing up.
And, you know, that's why I'm like the maple syrup. That's why she used to always say that, because quick with it. I just drizzle all over the place.
You need to let that go.
We're saving the Gronk from himself right now by firing the sawed-off shotgun of sports. Sports takes and 5 a.m. club member Coach Cliff and Coach's early morning workout in Steve Keim's direction.
Is Cliff still working out at like 3:30 in the morning, 4 a.m., like working on those abs?
He is, man. It's disgusting.
I hate him.
I mean, you know me. I'm trying to find a guy to go get a steak with, a pizza, and Cliff's over there eating his grilled chicken and his, you know, tofu.
So, that's good stuff. Nothing like a 5-2 record and two straight wins in primetime, making for some laughs during the bye week.
That's why you and I are friends.
Yeah.
I'm that guy who gets a pizza with you.
That's right. Go get a pizza with him, you know. Of course, every Friday, I'm in the Doug and Wolf show. You guys go get a double pepperoni pizza with the GM.
Because if we need to hug this thing out, guys, we can.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's the wrong time moment with the show. Sorry. Anyway, back to the GM on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports, and they asked him to zoom out on the Cliff and Kyler experiment. And as the decision maker, he's had those moments where he's looked himself in the mirror and said,
"If this doesn't work, you're fried."
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, I get it. I am one GM that I promise you, I get it. It's a results-based business. My first 5 years, we won over 50 games. All was looking pretty good. Bruce retires, Carson retires.
Yep.
And then we're back at square one.
I mean, worse than square one, you were saddled with a head coach and a QB combo that was so ineffective that the rest of the division was praying you'd stick with those two, right? Instead, they hit the big red reset button after 1 year.
One.
As they say in business, fail fast, eat the sunk cost, and move on.
I really do look back on it now and think to myself, as an outsider, if you said you're hiring a college coach who had a losing record at the college level, and you're drafting a 5'10" quarterback with the first pick in the draft,
Dominican
American, you might question the job that I'm doing, and I get it. Yeah. But sometimes in life, you have to trust your instincts and you have to take a swing, you know, instead of like the movie with Kevin Costner, you know, you can't lay it up all the time. You got to take shots. In this case, I feel like it's, you know, certainly paying dividends.
The movie, he means, I presume, is a tin cup.
This is the last ball you got in the bag, Roy. You get this one, we're disqualified.
Everybody's had their tin cup moment where you failed and you know you failed, but you also know
I can make it across. Well, then do it.
And then you'll let her rip. And there's two options. You either tee off like Tiger in his prime, or you wind up like Roy Tin Cup McAvoy from PGA Pro 2, owning a driving range in West Texas. Yeah.
Who hit that shot?
Yeah, who hit that? Yeah.
There's supposed to be pros here.
But enough highlights from Doug's Golf Friday. Hit the button.
The
Dude.
Factor.
Dude. With the Halloween holiday, SI has posted an NFL Films video clip of two NFL legends.
Whatever.
Randy Moss and...
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Coach Belichick from their New England days. Randy Moss and Coach Buzzkill, they're finishing a meeting in the head coach's office, and there's a camera there. I don't know if it's from Hard Knocks or whatever. I have no idea. But before departing, Randy Moss extends an invitation. Play the clip.
Not interested in that, are you?
In what?
Halloween party.
Randy Moss is inviting Coach Belichick to his Halloween bash.
Not interested in that, are you?
In what?
Halloween party.
And you're guessing that Belichick is about to say, dude. Wolf, did you ever invite Coach Belichick to one of your big raging parties when you played for the Browns?
Stop it, Paul.
You and Eric Metcalf used to throw those all-timers. Whoa, hello.
No.
Hang on. Coach is listening, though, and making a funny.
Well, this is what it is.
We're dressed as the devil.
No, that's what we're doing.
Belichick says, You want me to come dressed as the devil because he knows the players? He's the heavy. He's the bad guy, and he cracks himself up.
He was, Paul.
Yeah, right? I mean,
he was. There's no doubt about it. Cut and dry.
Yeah. So Randy Moss reacts to the costume joke. He's like, oh, I'm getting some buy-in here from Coach. He continues his sales pitch.
Hey, you might win the damn prize.
Trying to, you know, get us a little DJ, get right. us a roll of ring.
Yep.
So have us a good night. Uh-huh. But like I said, you're more than welcome or whatnot.
You're more than welcome. Belichick is nodding. He's getting some traction.
We still have that.
It's a great holiday.
It's a great holiday.
Candy and costume.
Yeah.
How can you beat that?
Right.
How can you beat that? It's candy and costume, says Bill.
It's not a holiday.
I mean, you know, Randy Moss and and then the last scene is the private party at the roller rink, and Belichick shows up dressed as a pirate like Mike Leach. And he's roller skating around the rink. Coach Belichick.
Knock it off.
He showed up to the party.
Knock it off.
Yeah. He showed up.
I would have walked right up to him and said, who are you?
Now it's time for another edition of
Howdy God Dang.
We know the saying, if it bleeds, it leads.
I've just been handed an urgent news story.
On Dallas TV, this story made all the newscasts.
One Dallas man's Halloween display is so realistic, and this thing looks so gruesome, it is getting the attention of certainly a lot of people, but police as well.
Dude decorated his house for Halloween. And then some. Grizzly. Really realistic. He's an artist, and he took his talents to his front yard, scattering fake murdered bodies with lots of fake blood.
Oh, my God, dang.
It looks like a quadruple murder scene, including a lifelike dummy pinned to the roof with a weapon through its head.
As bad as Stephen Novak's decorations look, this is 100% fake. There's nothing real here.
It stops people in their tracks as they come up on his house and they react like Gus Johnson.
Oh, my goodness!
A display of mutilated bodies all covered in blood.
It's pretty good, though. Fake blood, just corn syrup, chocolate, and red food coloring. He did explain to us why he put so much effort into Halloween at this house.
I like seeing the reaction I get out of people.
He's getting reaction.
I'll be golden.
Where is that, Bob?
Well, if you would have called the HOA, not a day goes by where you don't call the HOA.
Oh, real respect's real. Right. Y'all gonna squeal?
Well, squeals on the neighbors.
I don't live where there's an HOA.
Hanrahan, down the street, called the cops.
Even knowing it's not real, it is too much for some. He suspects a neighbor called 911 on him. He says police came, investigated, asked him about it, and then they left.
Deal breaker.
And what'd this guy tell the cops? Because he's that guy.
I don't mind upsetting people a little bit, and it's just funny. I mean, anybody that doesn't look at this and crack up, there's something wrong with them.
I don't mind the fact that my neighbor's got a Coors Light sign hanging from a tree. I don't care.
A violent display of murdered, mutilated bodies in your front yard. That's funny?
I don't go out there and laugh.
I don't know.
It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul, with your HOA.
How did the show make you feel?
Hey, take your garbage can in.
Doug and Wolf's.
You get off my land if you know what's good for you.
Wolf, these weeds. That's a fine.
Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley.
Tell
get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
I mean, ask Carol. You can't paint your house that color. We've got a color chart.
My big takeaway from today's show is I guarantee there are no Doug and Wolf listeners that have ever taken a picture of somebody else's house and put it on a letter to them for the HOA.
You know what? I got a neighbor in my neighborhood. That's the last straw. I'm going to report him today, actually.
Don't you ever knock on my door if you're from an HOA. Peace and strength.